And now, for a moment of clarity.
You want to see a market crash? If we lost this election, I think the market would go down the tubes.
We are a nation whose stock market's continued success is contingent on MAGA winning the next election.
Trump cash versus Kamala crash. We're going to have a crash like 1929 if she gets in. A 1929-style depression. 1929. When I win the election, we will immediately begin a brand new Trump economic boom. It'll be a boom.
It's a boom, all right. It's a boom all over your 401k and your child's education fund. And remember all those talks about projecting, the Trump's just projecting? Well, guess what? Those projections during the campaign are infuriating to watch right now. The financial markets try and find the bottom. And fears of a global recession are rising among rank-and-file Republicans as well. Wall Street's biggest names and even Trump's chief financier, Elon Musk, have the jitters about all of this great economy that Trump is creating. The concerns from the billionaire class and their bankers comes as mass protests this weekend sprung up across America, with all 50 states seeing demonstrations against the president. The financial turmoil and those government cutbacks. Back with me are George, Ed, and Maria Teresa. So, Maria Teresa, you had the Speaker of the House counseling the members to stay calm, right? The tariff process, just trust it. Trust the tariff process. Stand by Trump's trade policy. You know, he's going to deliver a strong economy. Well, I don't know where he's got $6 trillion to put back into the economy, because they just shed $6 trillion, Donald Trump did. We want you to listen to how the administration is just playing down these fears of recession. Just listen.
The smart strategy is not to panic, just stay in, because we are going to have the biggest boom in the stock market we've ever seen under the Trump policies.
I don't think that you're going to see a big effect on the consumer in the U.S.
There doesn't have to be a recession. The, you know, who knows how the market is going to react in a day, in a week. What we are looking at is building the long-term economic fundamentals for prosperity.
We knew there would be uncertainty to say, oh, the world is ending, the markets are crashing. The markets are adjusting.
No, the markets are crashing. Okay, so let me bring you in on something. The fallout over President Trump's tariffs turmoil has gotten so bad that even people in his own administration are fighting over it. The Washington Post is reporting that over the weekend, Elon Musk made direct appeals to Trump to reverse the tariffs, while also going after the president's top trade advisor, Peter Navarro, on social media. Now, Navarro then took a shot at Musk on CNBC, saying the Tesla CEO is, quote, not a car manufacturer, but a car assembler, which Musk responded to by calling Navarro a, quote, moron and dumber than a sack of bricks. When asked about this feud at today's press briefing, White House Press Secretary Karoline Leavitt didn't refute it. Instead, she said this.
Look, these are obviously two individuals who have very different views on trade and on tariffs. Boys will be boys, and we will let their public sparring continue.
Boys will be boys. But here's the thing. These schoolyard fights don't really matter, folks, because at the end of the day, no matter what cracks may or may not have been formed between Trump and Musk and Navarro and whomever, that agenda between Trump and Musk remains the same. That is, the dismantling of the federal government through DOGE, which is essentially the physical manifestation of Project 2025. Congressional Democrats are keeping the heat on the Trump administration over their assault on the Department of Justice. Senator Adam Schiff and Congressman Jamie Raskin held a shadow hearing with several attorneys who either resigned or were fired in the first few months of the Trump administration.
The rule of law is being attacked and subverted from within, from an administration intoxicated by its own power and enabled by a supine Congress.
Our witnesses are people who have refused to bow down and be complicit in the way so many of our colleagues have been complicit.
It wasn't an official congressional hearing, since Democrats are in the minority in both houses, but in a sign of how important the witness testimony is, Trump's Justice Department tried to preemptively muzzle one of the witnesses, fired former pardon attorney Liz Oyer. Trump's DOJ dispatched armed marshals, folks. They actually sent the police to deliver a letter Friday night warning about executive privilege, telling her, remember, executive privilege. Oyer says she was fired after refusing a request to restore the gun rights of actor Mel Gibson.
The letter was a warning to me about the risks of testifying here today. But I am here because I will not be bullied into concealing the ongoing corruption and abuse of power at the Department of Justice. DOJ is entrusted with keeping us safe, upholding the rule of law, and protecting our civil rights. It is not a personal favor bank for the president.
That last part. Joining me now is former U.S. Attorney Joyce Vance, professor at the University of Alabama School of Law and an MSNBC legal analyst. Joyce, I'm really glad you're here to help us understand what this landscape looks like on the heels of the Supreme Court's decision, particularly around the Aliens Act, where the court noted, quote, for all the rhetoric of the dissents, today's order and per curiam confirms that the detainees subject to removal orders under the Alien Enemies Act are entitled to notice and an opportunity to challenge their removal. What is the court saying here, since these folks were removed ostensibly without due process?
Well, the majority, the conservative majority of the Supreme Court seems to be saying, going forward, Justice Department and United States government, you have to give people notice before you deport them under the Alien Enemies Act so they can go to court if they think they have a case. But as for these 200 plus people who are already in El Salvador, well, we've sacrificed them and their rights. It's sort of like they're pretending everything happened normally when that's far from the case.
So, yeah, former pardon attorney Elizabeth Oyer saying it should alarm all Americans that the leadership of the Department of Justice appears to value political loyalty above the fair and responsible administration of justice. That seems to be a theme that kind of runs through a lot of these cases, including the young man, Mr. Garcia, who was just taken, sent off. The administration admits, oh, that was a mistake. And yet you had Donald Trump saying, well, we don't know how to get him back. That's up to El Salvador to get him back. What does this say about where the Department of Justice and the administration of justice is at this point? In less than 24 hours, the Trump administration has gone from potentially being held in contempt of court for not following a judge's orders regarding the return of deported Venezuelan migrants, to being told by the Supreme Court that it could continue to deport migrants under the Wartime Alien Enemies Act. Now, while the administration is claiming victory, the highest court did add that detainees must be afforded due process and given time to challenge their detentions before they're taken out of the country. That was not afforded to the 200-plus migrants on the initial flights last month to the notorious El Salvador prison, where they remain tonight, folks. Rejoining me now is MSNBC legal analyst and former acting assistant attorney general for national security, Mary McCord. Mary, I want to start out of the gate with a sound from the White House press secretary, Carolyn Leavitt, being asked about the Supreme Court ruling regarding deportees. Just take a listen.
With regards to the Supreme Court ruling on the Alien Enemies Act, you're right, it was a win for the administration, but the justices also said that deportees are entitled to due process. Does the administration agree with that?
That's not quite true, Gabe. They said that they are entitled to a habeas petition, and we are going to continue to comply with the law, and we are wholly confident that every single person that has been deported under the Alien Enemies Act, every person that will continue to be deported under the Alien Enemies Act, qualifies for that deportation.
So, Mary, I was not a criminal lawyer, corporate lawyer, so I'd look at this a little bit differently, and I'll admit, but at least my reading of the Constitution, my understanding of the law, is that habeas corpus, we have the body, means the state now has got legal possession of you, still requires due process. So, Caroline, if you're watching, Caroline, if you're
not sure where she got her law degree, but I think she's misinterpreting the Supreme Court.
Catch Michael Steele on The Weekend, Saturdays and Sundays on MSNBC.